This podcast is intended for mature audiences and is not considered appropriate for enjoyment in the workplace. However, as bad as this podcast is, we will take anyone we can get, including those who are hard of hearing.
Stop turning that damn dial. We found him. This show is dedicated to the 750,000 fans and listeners spanning from the islands of Hawaii to the trailer parks of North Carolina and over to the whorehouses scattered throughout Europe. Zipping. I wasn't finished. Of other shows and podcasts. Not my problem, people. You wanted an intellectual show that worked the brain like mental Viagra, getting old gracefully, and having a sex life like a rock star? Well, then keep your fingers crossed, because you're now listening to Alan Wolfert on Diary of a Bald Man. This follically challenged air thief and borderline coffeeholic will educate and inform you about non-penetrating, UFO abductions, developing the perfect chicken and dumplings, and how to live life at the speed of dark. Makes you wish you were hard of hearing, doesn't it? And here he is, with a voice that has you yearning to hear nails being dragged across a chalkboard, Alan Wolfert.
Hey, boys and girls, welcome back to the show and all those in between. You're listening to Alan Wolfert on Diary of a Bald Man, coming to you semi-live from the U.S. Army Garrison on the Kwajalein Atoll. Before we get into the show, let's give a good shout-out to all of our fans and listeners and subscribers. You know, 97,000-plus of you around the globe have been listening, downloading, sharing, commenting, liking, subscribing on various platforms, and I am thankful and I love you for that. You know, helping us podcasters spread the word, either by casual conversation, sharing the links, things like that. I'm eternally grateful, and I'm glad for your support. So if you're listening to the show on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or any of the other fabulous platforms out there, please give us a like, give us a rating, let me know how we're doing, let us know if we're having an impact on you, and if, you know, the show does anything for you, for your friends, for your family, if it gets you to converse or research or study or try to learn more, please let us know. You know, that's part of what we're here for. And while we're talking about it, you know, I want to give a special shout out to Linda Hardy and the Chenega security team here on the Garrison. Miss Linda, thank you for not sending the SWAT team, K-9 and Quills out the other day when we had the noise complaint against myself and Roy. I mean, we were just out there in the dark together. We weren't holding hands. It was just pinkies. It was just casual conversation. So there wasn't any hand holding. But we were just admiring one another's bald beauty in low light. You know, the stars were out. The street lights were on. People walking the dogs. Somebody, I'm sure, was pissing behind the bushes. You know, because those dogs keep going over and sniffing. It wasn't us this time. I mean, we were behaving. You only sent one squad out. He come out, did a flying jump kick, I think two somersaults, maybe a butterfly kick. I'm not sure, Junior, you move so fucking fast. And then when you whipped out the clipboard, we knew that the shit was about to hit the fan. We knew it was coming down. Thank you for being so courteous. And, you know, I'm still extending that offer. If you need to pepper spray somebody to make a point to people that call in complaints about two old senior citizens sitting outside trying not to shit themselves while they're waking up, please do so. But don't forget, you know, if you're going to club somebody, do fucking Roy. He's in better shape. He doesn't have the shit going on that I do right now. And let's talk about shit going on. I cannot believe the type of people in our country right now trying to take out a former president and current running presidential candidate. You know, what does that say about the environment that we foster, that all of us veterans fought to protect and preserve the rights for, that all of our public safety officials constantly put their lives on the line for on a daily basis, only for you to get pissed off, climb on top of a building full of fucking cops that should have heard you climbing on a metal structure? I'm not judging because I don't know what was going on in the inside. I don't know what your mission tasks were. But why would you do that? Why does anybody do that? You know, one of the things that when I'm teaching an active shooter class on is we never talk about the shooter, right? But I do want to say this. I think it was disgraceful for social media and the people to put up, you know, putting up pictures of the individual maybe feminized. You know, I can see if you're saying that the individual had mental issues and things like that. But, you know, all you're doing is creating havoc with people that may assume that they are of another gender, even though scientifically there is only two. You know, let's not go out and degrade people, dead or alive, all right? Because then people will start looking at other people with similar facial structure, hair structure, facial piercings, things like that, and automatically assuming the worst when that may be the most empathetic, sympathetic, caring, loving individual, but you scarred their memories with something that just, you know, superimposes the face of death. And so they're going to take action, and it's not always going to be good. Think about the Hawktua girl. Look at the shit she's going through right now. Fucking memes, stuff like that. Yeah, it was a funny event. She was in Nashville enjoying herself. You only live once. Say your thing. Get it out there. You know, I don't think she intended to be an influencer, but it happened. There's thousands of memes, funny images, things like that. But, you know, with everything positive, just like I said about the guy, don't put up negative imagery of him being, you know, feminized and things like that, and then having people attacking people look similar. But anytime you have something positive, you have creeps and you have fucking haters and stuff like that coming out, and somebody will be joking one day, maybe it's their daughter, their sister, their wife, girlfriend, and she'll do the hawk too, and that individual hated it for whatever reasons, and then it creates a domestic event. Think before you do shit, people. Yeah, we only live one fucking time, and you do have to take a chance, and you have to have the fortitude to stand up, say what's on your mind, you know. But don't do this with violence. Do it verbally. We're fucking educated. You know what? We're supposed to be educated. We're supposed to be more intelligent than, you know, just a visceral animal. Don't act like animals, unless you're in the bedroom. Tear that shit up, you know. And talking about tearing that shit up and acting visceral in the bedroom, God forbid, Dr. Ruth Wesheimer, one of the funniest, most intelligent women in the world, is now gone. You know, 96 years old. And who knows how many people she helped to have a better sex life or to find themselves and be able to satisfy themselves when they thought, well, nobody else wants to bed me, you know, or smack this ass and pull my hair. I mean, Dr. Ruth was just nutty. She was funny. And she took the stigma out of talking about sex and the fears that people have and some of the interesting things that they have. And then on the other side of the scope, you have Richard Simmons, one of the most outlandish, funny, buoyant people, you know, I remember as a young man. I mean, I was never really big into his shows, but the energy that he displayed, the positivity that he displayed for everybody of all sizes, all shapes, all, you know, physical structures and things, he was just a positive motherfucker. I mean, he would get out there and I would laugh my ass off his outfits and say I could not pull that off because I didn't have his personality. I didn't have his buoyancy. You know, he just had that energy that would stimulate people and sometimes not in the best way. You know, there were haters out there because of positivity. Because remember, positivity and negativity, attraction, stuff like that. So what you do, do with kindness. What you do, do with love. What you do, do with your heart. Not with your mind, because your mind will fuck you every time. Our environment is stupid. We still have people that hate race. We still have people that, you know, every time you turn around, it's like, oh, the fucking Hispanics are coming all over doing this. But you know what? Who's getting your vegetables? Who's working in those meat processing plants? Who's the ones that's out there doing, you know, gardening and doing amazing jobs with landscaping and construction and stuff like that? I don't see too many other fucking nationalities out there busting their ass to keep their family fed, to live the American dream in a manner such as that. I see a lot of the tradesmen, both white, black, European and stuff, that go out there and do things. But fucking because somebody wants to better themselves, don't be mad. If so, you know, if you're mad because of taxes, that ain't their fucking fault. They're not living free. They're having to work. Yes, maybe they're not paying all the taxes, but others are. So don't assume that one is the, you know, vocal piece for everybody. Stop using hate. Stop being stupid. Stop letting people in your environment dictate your actions. Look at what those people are doing, how they're doing it. Are they hurting you? Are they coming after you? Yes, there are some bad ones out there. We've seen that with the rapes, the murders and stuff. But our own fucking people are doing it too. Look at, you know, what's going around the country. You know, you see people attacking people and saying, oh, this is a color or race issue. No, it's not. It's a violence issue. Ain't got a fucking thing to do with race. It's just what you notice at the time of the event. Damn. You know, this is a broken fucking country right now. Broken. Because we are letting influencers, like you get on TikTok, Instagram, stuff like that. People get mad at women going into OnlyFans and things like that. And that sparked during the pandemic because people lost jobs. So they're using what they hope is their natural beauty to entice others to send them money. Just for having the bravado or the confidence to strip down and do sexualized things, which I don't think a person should have to sell themselves sexually. We already have enough human trafficking going on. I mean, fucking look at all these old motherfuckers going into, you know, Asian countries and, you know, getting a wife and buying it, you know, like it's property. But I'm not judging them either, because back in the day in the U.S., you could order a bride, have her sent out to your farm, things like that. It's been around forever, you know. People are people. We all want companionship, and some people just want people of a certain culture or a certain nationality because they like the way that, you know, they respect the family unit. They want to do this. It's not that Walmart mindset like we have in the U.S. Like, let's say you have an ex, right? Now she's on her fifth marriage or sixth marriage. What are they looking for? What are they shopping for that they didn't get from the first four? You know, you get tired of something, you get bothered by something. Oh, throw it away. Go get you a new one. If you're not willing to work at that and work on yourself, it doesn't matter how many you get, where you get them from, it's not going to last. It's not going to be worthwhile. Love yourself, as Dr. Ruth said. Rub one out. You know, if you get that tension going on, reduce it yourself. Not in a public fucking setting, not in parks and shit like that. Go home, you fucking perverts. You know, do it like the rest of us grown-ass adults. You know, take a picture of your wife when she's not looking, getting out of the shower. Take it with you and say, I got you now, baby. All right, so let's get serious for a moment, right? So again, with the president being shot, another thing that happened is, you know, our current president just stepped out of the election process. He is not rerunning for office. So where are we at? What's going on in the environment? What do we have to look forward to? You know, right now, we're going through so many different things that I would say it's a broken arrow. And if you're wondering what a broken arrow is, back in the day when I was younger, a broken arrow was a half-breed kid. And people were like, what does that got to do with a broken arrow? Well, you were one half of a white American, one half Native American. You could have been one half Hispanic, one half this, one half that. You had two things. You weren't a whole. You were a fragmentation of two different cultures. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong at all. But, you know, when we look at people today, people say, oh, I want a purity in this and I want a purity in that. For what? What the fuck's the difference if you got somebody that's going to be a portion of this? I took the Ancestry.com test. I'm not Native fucking American. I am not a broken arrow. I'm Heinz 57 like the rest of you motherfuckers. You could say, well, I'm 100% Texan. Okay? That is not a nationality. That's a state. And we'll get back to that in just a moment. Let's take a mental health break and listen to Walking on Fire by Walking on Fire. Don't go away. We'll see you in a moment.
I'm comatose in a hotel bathroom. Can't lose the wolf on the night of a full moon. I left a card on the nightstand for you. Running late, I'm a ticking time bomb. Radio plays only static, no songs. I turn right, then it all went so wrong. Walking on fire in the waves of desire, but it's only giving me the blues. Sing the darkest notes. that nobody needed. All of my cash and my love depleted. I shouldn't be here, but my heart keeps beating. Till the earth keeps spinning on its axis. Keep waking up and I call it practice. Digging deep but I don't know where the truth is. Where do you hide it? Walking on fire in the waves of desire. But it's only
search for something intellectual and fulfilling. You've tuned into the diary of a bald man, and there is no going back. Let the moaning, groaning, and bitching begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, sinners, welcome back to the shit show. You're listening to Alan Wolford and the Diary of a Bald Man. So, you know, we just got done discussing some of the relative issues and events that are going on in and around us. But you know what? Let's talk about something with an even deeper meaning. So after, you know, former president and presidential candidate Trump was shot, obviously the Secret Service got into action, and they probably used a set of keywords to pass around, hey, this event just occurred, this is what's going on, and that notifies people what to do. My broken arrow, or my keyword event, happened last week. So let's go back just a little bit towards 9th of April. So 9th of April, I arrived on the island and, you know, began working here as a contractor, as a safety trainer with the company that I'm with. And as we were going into May, I went out to one of the outer islands and was participating in a safety event out there when my left leg just started to shake like crazy. I mean, it felt like somebody came up and hit my common peroneal nerve right above my knee and had just taken my leg out. I mean, it was the oddest feeling. No pain. It was just shaking. I couldn't stand upright. I was climbing out of the aircraft and moving over to the vehicle, and I just had a hard time keeping up. So as the days went by, I notified my manager. I said, hey, I better, you know, go to sick call and get this checked out because I'm starting to have pain. I mean, it felt like I was walking on glass, you know, and it was just, it would come and be sharp. I could walk 15, 20 feet, and then it felt like my foot was on fire. It was just an odd, odd feeling. So I went in and went over to the local clinic, went through triage, you know, did the height, weight, and all that funny stuff that you go through, did the blood pressure, got checked, and Bess Buchanan came up, who is the PA that was attending to me, and she decided to do a series of tests. You know, she checked my foot, felt for circulation, listened for her pulse and stuff like that, was going through and describing everything that I gave Google, because I thought fucking Google would give me an answer, and said, let's go get a scan. So I went in, you know, the radiologist got me down, they took an x-ray of the foot before I went in for the CT, and it was like, well, you know, you got a heel spur, but we don't think that that's contributing to what you're feeling. But it was a big fucking heel spur. I mean, dude, I looked like I could back up to a barbed wire fence, slice my, put my heel to it and cut it in half. That's how big that damn thing looked. So we go in, get the CT scan, and it's like, okay, I'll be right back. You know, they went and got Bess and was showing Bess what was going on. And it came out that I had deep vein thrombosis. I had a blood clot. And, you know, that's not a good thing. So they start to question a little bit more in depth in the triage and start asking me questions as to, hey, did you get a strike behind your leg? Did you have any damage? You know, there was no bruising. There was no contusions. There was nothing to show any type of injury, and they couldn't figure it out. So, you know, it wasn't something created by trauma or me getting run over by one of the three-wheelers out here on the island. It came out that I had deep vein thrombosis. You know, so if you go and you do a lot of air travel, a couple of things I want you to know. Put on sunscreen. I shit you not, look it up. If you do a lot of air travel, you want to use sunscreen. You're really high up there in altitude. So, you know, we're talking about UV light and radiation and things like that. You definitely want to wear sunscreen. If you ask, a lot of flight attendants actually wear that. And you'll see them, you know, lathering back up after washing or changing, doing food service, things like that. You'll see them coating their arms and exposed skin areas. So the other thing I want you to do is get up, you know, like every hour, walk to the back, walk to the latrine, just stretch your legs, but get up, you know, make sure you don't get that deep vein thrombosis like I did. And even look at the idea of wearing compression socks. And again, anything I tell you, you know, talk to your primary care physician, go to Google Medical, whatever. I'm kidding about Google Medical. But talk, you know, because you may have a condition that warrants the need of that. But after what I experienced, I'm telling you, I've got me a set of pantyhose now. I'm going to shave my legs later. I may manscape, you know, just to get it even cut across the body. Especially now that I'm off the blood thinners. Could you imagine cutting my ballsack, you know, trying to manscape and manage? And the reason I'm talking about manscaping and shaving, the first time I tried on one of the compression stockings and went to take it off, now I know what an epilady feels like. I gave out such a high note, I think the dogs over at the canine center started barking at me. It had nothing to do with all the shit going on. I think I just let out a little bit of a high-pitched scream. You know, because that took some hair. That took some hair down. I mean, I was dancing on my tippy toes, and I had good circulation after that. But, you know, I had blood thinners and stuff like that, so I don't want to nick the man bits and then bleed out, you know, and something happened. I mean, who the hell wants to walk in on that shit and go, what the hell was he doing? Well, he was manscaping. Huh. I know people do it, but, you know, I'm kind of afraid to now. I do want to get the hair off certain areas, so when I'm wearing my compression socks and I go to pull those bad boys off, I'm not making that high-pitched squeal again. But if I can, I will record it for you for a later podcast episode. But anyways, let's get back. So I find out I had deep vein thrombosis. So what they did is they were giving me a blood thinner called Eliquis. Great stuff. Expensive as fucking hell. Why is it the better things with the less amount of side effects cost you an arm and a leg? You know, now I understand why my parents don't buy, you know, their top-of-the-line medications, like, oh, give me the generic. It has the baseline shit, but the potential side effects, yeah, you're going to shit yourself, you're going to do this, you know, a variety of things can and will occur. But I hate that, you know, EpiPens, stuff for, you know, diabetics, it's insanely fucking expensive. And I understand it's to get the money that went into the research and things like that. They're going to make it, you know, Viagra. Look at Viagra, Sildenafil, all that stuff. Now the generic forms are out, but, you know, it takes time. But getting healthy, you know, I never thought I'd have a blood clot that I had to worry turned into a pulmonary embolism. So I was scared shitless. I'm not going to lie. There was a couple of nights I cried because of fear of not knowing if that sumbitch would break loose, you know, go up through the body, get into my brain, get into my lungs. It scared the shit out of me. And I do not fucking want to die out here in the fucking Marshall Islands surrounded by other people that are assholes just like me. They're great people, but they're assholes too. And I mean that in a loving way in case any of you assholes are listening. Miss Linda, I know you're listening. You're not an asshole, but I told you not to listen to this shit at work. But anyways, let's get back to it. So, you know, Bess had to leave. She had to go out on a boat for a while and do a thing that she does as a medical professional. And she came back in and said, hey, let's check on these blood clots. which I was happy about because I wanted to know where they gone, where they floating around, had they moved up, had they spread, you know, did they come into like a two for one special, things like that. Because when they initially told me I had a blood clot, it was a blood clot, not blood clots. So I was mad as shit that I didn't get told the day that they found the initial DVT that I had more than one. Because it's like when you have kids, right? One gets silent, you're looking for that little fucker somewhere because you know where one thing's doing it, the other little shithead's doing something too. So, you know, I was fearful. I had a panic attack. They put me on the blood thinner. I had it for the first duration. They wanted me on it for 3 months. And I said, fucking no, $360-something damn dollars for a dose. I was like, no, either this shit works or it doesn't. And luckily it did. Best came back in. We went to check and it was gone. But where my broken arrow event came in is while they were looking to make sure it did not go up into my femoral artery, they found out that my femoral artery was occluded, meaning it was blocked. There was plaque. There was other shit, you know, that was up there. And that's was creating a blood flow issue into my lower calf. And that creates the pain and the burning sensations and the walking on glass and, you know, just being in agony, not agony like somebody, you know, that had their foot crushed, things like that. Just the agony, that lack of circulation, and you're trying to walk, and it's like you've got a quart of a tank of gas, and you're running 100 miles an hour to get to that next stop, and it's only going to get you so far until it overheats and then stops because you burn up all the fuel. But, you know, you have to be considerate about this. And my broken arrow event came up when they said, okay, this is what's going to happen. You've got to get off island. So to let you know what the broken arrow event is, again, the first time I ever heard broken arrow, it was in reference to, you know, mixed breed kids. But then as I grew older, you know, you had the movie Broken Arrow. So Broken Arrow was, you know, it was an Air Force guy was flying over the desert. Aircraft got, they had to eject, and they lost the weapon. So they called it in as a broken arrow, a missing weapon. Then when we were soldiers, Mel Gibson used the term when they were at their last point, you know, they were in a heated battle. The Vietnamese were coming in. He was about to lose the entire thing, the ground, personnel, everything. Sam Elliott was there. He could have fucking stomped half of them by himself in the movie. But he took it easy and then went ahead and just called in, you know, F-4 Corsairs and other fighters and bombers and blew the shit, leveled some of the mountains down. That was their broken arrow. That was their keyword. That was their distress signal that we need help. So when I was in the clinic that day and they said, you have an occluded femoral artery, you know, we don't want to amputate your toes, your foot and shit like this, because that's what happens, you know, if things get down and you get gangrene and things like that. And the reason I'm telling you this, guys, is when you go out, if you feel slight pains and things, okay, don't always try to work through it. There may be something more significant, like a blocked flow. I mean, I think about my brother Doug had a widowmaker, and he had quadruple bypass surgery and things like that. So that was sitting heavy on my mind. So I got fearful. I got panicky. Had a second panic attack, you know, because while it's not up there in my chest and stuff, what if there is? If I have an occluded femoral artery, what the fuck else is going on in my body that we didn't see because we were looking for two fucking little blood clots that could have taken me down, smaller than a .22 bullet, you know, that could have just destroyed me. It's not the big things that we can see, that we can duck, that we can avoid, wear body armor, you know, things like that. It's the little things inside. So as I'm getting older, and I hope to continue doing so, you know, I'm going to be going to UT. I've already got a doctor assigned. They've sent paperwork because once my distress signal was sent out, you know, I got up at 2 o'clock in the fucking morning. I was calling over to Tennessee because of the time and date difference. You know, and I was hooking up, and these people were great. You know, my physicians, the PAs, the nurses, the triage team here on the island, you know, they were the best advanced team I could ever ask for. They were saying, you know, these are some of the things. You got to fucking stop smoking. And that's hard. You know, especially with the stress of, do I have blood clots that's trying to kill me? Now I got a femoral artery that, you know, they're going to fucking reduce the circulation? Will it cause gangrene? Will I lose my foot? Will I lose my leg? Because we don't know how thick it is. They may have an idea by imagery, but you know, you have to do more testing, and that's what I'm going for. So my broken arrow was called. So what I want you to do, what I want you to think from all of this is not be panicky. If your foot gets numb, stand up, walk around, right? Get the circulation going. Go get you some cayenne pepper, add it to your hot cocoa. Help, you know, take your 325 milligrams of aspirin to help reduce, you know, the thickness of your blood, the viscosity. If it's approved by your physician, not WebMD, not Web Google, not Web Allen, you know, go fucking get it checked out. I know healthcare is a motherfucker today, and so many people can't afford to keep lights on, get a fucking biscuit and a sweet tea, and now you want, you know, I'm telling you, go do this and go do that. We're getting older. We want to continue to do so. I don't want you to have to call out your broken arrow and everybody have to drop and run and roll and get over to you. Load your fat ass, and some of you are skinny, but I'm just going to say fat so you feel voluptuous and full-figured, okay? So just roll with me here. But, you know, when you get your keyword out and your, you know, your distress signal, make sure that you're ahead of that, right? Do like Mel Gibson. You got your radios, you got your Sam Elliott. You know, do your physicals once a year. You know, people keep asking me, is like, Alan, will you pass the physical to get out here? Now, let me tell you, going to Wake Island and Shemya, those were physicals. I felt like I was going through MEPS. I had fingers in the butthole, checking my prostates, checking for cancers, all the things that, you know, are attributed to males. I mean, it was professional. I'm not saying this was anything like you'd see on Pornhub. But they were wanting to make sure that when we got to the island, we didn't have events like this where, you know, I'm walking and suddenly my legs start shaking and I'm grooving like, you know, Richard Simmons trying to shake off 30, 40 pounds. You know, it was very intense and it was very scary because what created that? You know, was I becoming an epileptic? Was I having a seizure? Why was it only in my left leg? Why do, you know, all the things that happen internally to us? We don't know. Go to your physician, get checked out. But while we're talking about this, let's talk about your mental side too. I became panicky because of what happened to others. My brother having the Widowmaker. You know, my mom having quadruple. So those two people who are very important to me created the panic in my head. They didn't personally do it, but I was aware and I was cognizant of their pain. I was aware and cognizant of what the family around them was going through, you know, being worried because would he last 10 minutes? Could you last 15 minutes? You know, what's your time? When your card's punched, it's punched. Fuck it. Just lay there, you know, reach for the light, look for the puppies and all the people that went before you, you know, but fight it right now before you're at that, you know, 10-second timeout. Fight it with everything you got, you know. One of the things that the wife taught me into, because she helped me reduce weight by a variety of programs, but so what she's saying is, you know, plaque is created by this, gotta stop smoking. Well, you know, my, and I stick to it, my excuse for the continued smoking was a high level of stress, panic, anxiety, because I'm so remote. And I don't want to die without kissing on her and grabbing her little round ass one more time. I don't. I wanted to look in her eyes and let her know that I love her. You know, my life was so improved by her and my family and the people around me. I don't want to go before I can acknowledge them and validate everything that they put into me, right? So right now, my broken arrow has been called. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get treated. You know, I'm not scared of the surgery. I was previously, but what I was scared of is the shit I saw online because I was wanting to diagnose what is the best case scenario? What is the worst case scenario? What is the likelihood, you know, how long does the circulation have to have been cut off in my left leg before, you know, muscle starts dying? You know, things that are going to have adverse effects and keep me from leaving, you know, living a life in a continued way with two legs and doing the things I do. Other people have done it. Fucking survivors, you know, they're badasses. Here I am bitching and whining, and I don't know if I have anything to bitch and whine about. And here's the most fucked up of all of it. I created this. My smoking, my eating hamburgers, whatever the fuck creates the plaque that gets into us. That's my fault. Well, no, it's the food industry fault because you motherfuckers make it where you can't afford salads and you can't eat good food, so we're eating everything that's mass-produced and McDonald-fied and shit like that. And you make it cheaper because, hey, you know, everything costs so much now. Well, let's feed you guys, give you type 2 diabetes. It's not your fault. We're the ones that bought it. We're the ones that consumed it. So I'm not, you know, not blaming McDonald's or the others. You know, it's our environment. Again, we create everything in the environment as a mass. You know, you let your fucking kids act like little dickheads and be disrespectful. That's not the community. That's you. Your community is telling you, hey, your kid's being disrespectful. You know, boys should help their moms. Girls should listen to their dads, things like that. You know, everybody's an influencer. And you're the next influencer. Do like we talked about before. Go get checked out. Let me know that you're okay. Diaryofballman1968@gmail.com. And if you're feeling low, I'll reach out to you and I'll say, quit your fucking bitching. You still have this. You still have the ability to fight, so fight. My one concern is for the elderly. You know, I'm thinking about my parents, what my mom's going through, what my dad's going through with his fractured back, things like that. You know, they can't afford the shit. They're not working to offset all the high cost of healthcare. You know, and healthcare should be free with all the fucking taxes that we pay, with everything that we put out there, especially as a veteran. You know, a lot of us veterans, you know, have some VA benefits. That's another thing that I've got to address when I get home. You know, there's all kinds of things out there, but we have to pay out the ass on with the money that we got taxed on. Then when we buy, we have to pay taxes on, and it never ends. So we can't afford the shit we really want and need. Remember the last podcast? What do I like? What do I need? What do I want? Well, I need good health care because I fucked myself up because of what was available in my environment because I couldn't get it anywhere else. Look at your environment. Start planning now. You know, go get checked, get your hearing checked. I mean, you're not going to recover your hearing. You can get a hearing aid. You can't replace your eyes. You can get better glasses. You know, check your circulation. Check your cardiac. You know, check for viruses. I'm not fucking talking about COVID. You're going to get the flu. You're going to have other shit too. But, you know, take your vitamins. Follow your health care. Grow you a fucking garden like they used to do. That's one thing I'm adamant about with the wife and I starting this Mediterranean diet. Excuse me, it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. Diet's temporary. Lifestyle, is, you're stuck with it, so you don't fucking develop plaque and other additional issues. So we're going to get into that, and I'd like you to join me. Let's do a thing. When I get home, you know, and I'm starting the garden while I'm waiting on surgery or corrective action for my femoral artery, you know, it's going to be a while. It may be 2 to 3 months before everything's up. Who knows? We don't know yet. But we're not going to stress about it because we've said the duress signal. I've got a flight off island here on the 29th. I'll be arriving back in Tennessee on the 30th. So if you're going to be over at the Tyson McGee Airport with your sign, make sure, please, to use black letters on a light contrast back because, you know, I'm going to be tired and fatigued from all the flying. I'm going to be wearing my stockings on my freshly shaved or trimmed legs. And I'll be the one gimping. So hold your sign up. Say, hey, bald man, welcome back. Come up, get a hug. Get two hugs. I don't give a shit. Yeah, get you a couple while I'm standing out there. I mean, I'm not going to smell very fresh being, you know, locked up into a sardine can with a bunch of sunscreen on, drinking water, and walking to the head every few minutes. But I'll be there. So let's plan for some future podcasts on what's going on with Alan and his femoral artery. Let's prepare for ourselves, right? Let's look at what we could do. Maybe we can get with our family, have a community garden, get some extra virgin olive oil, you know, get you some sardines, get you some other shit. You know, find out what you can buy bulk and save money on. Let's go into this Mediterranean lifestyle together. But plan, prepare, communicate. You know, same thing as me. If you get to a point where you're about to break, both emotionally and physically, have your outward, have your distress word so that when you tell your family, hey, I feel like a cotton ball, they know that you need them right now. They know that you're feeling lightheaded. They know that you're going to absorb everything around you. But talk to your family. You know, God forbid they travel, they're doing something like me. Have a distress word or, you know, a panic word so that if something's going bad, without going into a full conversation, they could say, honey, broken arrow. I love you guys. Don't forget to go to your podcast platform, vote, leave a message, email, tell me what you think. But I love you. Let's bring this back, you know, here in about a couple of weeks. We'll do a follow-up. I've got imaging due on the 7th at the University of Tennessee. So we'll get going, and I'll let you know what's going on. I like you. I love you. Don't forget to vote. People's Choice Podcast Award, Diary of Bald Men Under Culture and Society. You know, share the show. Tell us how we're doing. Love the people around you, and be positive in your environment. Now fuck off and have a good time. I love you. Take care and enjoy the rest of your day.
Alan Wolford has produced this podcast for entertainment purposes. Neither this nor any other podcast he produced constitute legal, medical, marital, sexual, or professional advice. The opinions and views presented by Alan are his own and do not reflect the views or opinions of employers, clients, family, Facebook groupies, promotional sponsors, or baby Jesus. Any health information shared or mentioned as an alternative does not create any patient-physician relationship or other professional relationship between the audience and the presenters. No person listening to any podcast from this rocket surgeon should act or refrain from acting based on the content of a podcast without first seeking appropriate professional advice and or counseling. Nor shall the information be used to substitute for professional advice and counseling. As stated earlier, this show is for entertainment purposes, not how to lead or change your life. Do what is best for you or what your spouse approves of. Alan Wolford and all guests of the show expressly disclaim all liability relating to any actions taken or not taken based on any and all contents of this site.